studying the Word of God, which is our first spiritual discipline. And we finished that last week. I do want to tell those of you that have missed and haven't been here, at some point when I can sit down and do it, I want to do an outline of this study all the way through that we can copy and get to you. So that if you missed a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks or whatever it is, you can go back and plug back into that. Because I really believe these spiritual disciplines are so important. They really are. And of course, we did start out with the Word of God. That's the first thing that we need to know. Whether we're hearing the Word, remember we talk about hearing the Word, and studying the Word in print. However we're studying the Word of God, it's important that we do that. And it's important that we get out there and we share the Word of God as we study it with one another, coming together. I'm going to ask you guys this morning, and you don't have to raise hands, I don't put anyone on the spot, but how many of you through this few weeks of studying the Word of God and talking about how important it is to be in the Word have gotten more into the Word? Now just think about that. Because it really has a direct relation on where we are, how we feel, and who we are. It truly does. You can't expect to feel close to the Lord if you're not in His Word. And you can't really expect to make good decisions if you don't have the Word of God to support you in whatever decisions that you're making. It's so important. We make so many decisions all the time. And I wonder sometimes if we have that thought process that says, you know what, before I make a decision, one of the first things I need to do, I need to see what the Word of God says about it. And there are so many ways to do that. You know, if you just, I hate to keep going back to the computer because, you know me, I'm a book man. But, you know, just Google the issue in Scripture and it'll give you a whole list of things to make sure you're going in the right direction. But if you don't have a commentary or something, you're dealing with a problem, there's always something that'll point you there. There's some really good Bible apps out there. There's a Word Bible app you can use. But it'll point you in that direction to which you can study. Because sometimes if you have a Bible that doesn't have a good concordance or anything in it, and it's just the Word, you know, you can't go in the back and find those things. Most Bibles you can, but I just challenge you, whatever your issue it is, you know, are you changing a job? Do you need to make a decision with a child? What about a relationship? What about anything? You know, seek the Lord's guidance. That's what we do. And that's what we need to do. So we're leaving that first spiritual discipline today, and we're going into the discipline of prayer. Certainly is one of my favorites. Prayer is so important. You know, prayer life is when we talk to God. And it's kind of hard, as all of you know, in relationships, that it's hard to have a relationship when there's no talking and when you don't talk to a person. Those relationships don't work very well very long, or they don't grow. And God expects us to talk with Him. You know, one of the worst things you can have in a marriage when you're having a difficulty is for one or the other to be giving you the silent treatment. Huh? That's horrible stuff, man. I don't like the silent treatment. You know, come on, talk. What's wrong? You haven't talked to me in 3 days, you know, or an hour or two. I know when she's mad and I'm getting the silent treatment. But let me just tell you. And you do too. Right? How do you think God feels when He gets the silent treatment? You ever think about that? He loves us. He has a wonderful life for us. His Son died for us. And then we give Him the silent treatment. That doesn't seem fair. So we're going to talk about not giving God the silent treatment. Does that sound good? Let's turn to Colossians chapter 4. Verses 1 through 6. Masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant with all thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying for us also that God would open a door for the word and speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. You notice that that whole passage, and it talks how that we should be and how that we should act. It says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in thanksgiving. What's it mean to do something earnestly? That's kind of an old word, isn't it? But I think most of us know what it means. What's earnest? Someone tell me what earnestly means. Wholeheartedly, that is good. Putting your full effort and attention into it. That's how we're to pray. It's so easy sometimes just to do the quick prayer. We all know what the quick prayer is. Lord, help me get through this day. Pew, out the door, right? Lord, thank you for this food we're about to eat. And you don't even get the tea out on the eat because the hot dog's already in your mouth, right? No, that's not how we pray, and I don't expect that's how most of you pray. You pray with thought. You earnestly do it. It doesn't. Instead of saying, you know, we need to pray before we eat this meal, we need to have the heart of, I'm thankful for this meal, and we need to pray and talk to God before we eat. I mean, that's the difference. To get up in the morning and be excited to pray and talk to God about your day, rather than, oh, I better just mark this one off. It's that relationship building. It's that time that we spend with God. We earnestly desire what He wants in our lives. And it's our time to talk to Him. I hope that when you wake up and you see your spouse or your friend or your sibling or whoever it is when you see in the morning, whoever you live with, I hope that one of the first things you want to say is, even if you haven't quite gotten in the bathroom and got your teeth brushed and stuff, those mornings can be really dull. But I hope that one of the first things you want to say is, good morning. I hope one of the first things you want to say in the morning is, good morning, God. Good morning, God. Being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. I see people say all the time on social media, hey, if you woke up today, you have something to be thankful for. I know people that would argue with that. But the truth is, we do. All of us are here today. And that means we were able to get up and come here today. And it means that God is not finished with you yet because you're here. How exciting is that? God has a plan for you, and you're still plugged into it because, folks, you're still here. Something to be very thankful for. All the many blessings that we have. God gives us unexpected blessings that we just don't see or look for. Funny story. You know, why is it, you know, it's so, I guess because we're around family. When pastors go to talk about things, sometimes they use family situations because it's just easier. So I apologize to my family for always picking on them. Marla gave me a cup a while back, a nice cold cup, and it says, caution, pastor, anything you say may and might be used in a sermon. It fits. So the other day, Holly and I are on our way to the track at the university where Julia was practicing. And I got to tell you guys a funny story. Julia has never been this independent before as she was this week. I mean, this was a real trial run. And it was so funny because I got to see a very normal teenager. And when she first went, of course, she was scared. She didn't know anybody. Mom's scared to leave her. You know that whole thing. And left her there at the place she's going to be. And immediately the phone calls start back and forth. She lost on the elevator, can't make her key work in her room. There's no other kids there yet. Oh no, what am I doing? And of course Holly's panicking too, and the phone calls are going back and forth. And then the kids showed up. She figured out her key, she got everything down. From that point on, Holly had to call her. It was like, okay, I'm good now. And she became so independent that week away from mom that you could just see it. You could just see the independence. It was almost like, don't crowd my space. But we're going to the track the other night, and Holly and I were talking, and she said, you know, she said, I know that Julia really doesn't have the drive to be really good, but she can still do okay. And then we got to the track, and we saw this drive we'd never seen in Julia before. It was unbelievable. It's like, what? What were we just saying? The difference was God had placed like-minded people and like people like her in around her and coaching her and telling her what she needed to do. Those people teaching her were using the same wheels she was using. And I thought about that, and I thought, how cool is that? You know, she had all these adults before telling her, you need to do this or you need to do that. And she's thinking, yeah, well, you sit here and try it. I can see her mindset thinking that. Why not, right? Well, now you've got all these people that are extremely accomplished, worldwide accomplished, and they're telling her, and she's just soaking it in and taking it and responding from it. Well, I think many times we need that creator that since you become a believer is like-minded with us to teach us and show us so that we can excel and go beyond too. And we don't always do that. Who do we seek counsel from first when something's wrong? We're people, aren't we? I'm a person, so I naturally do what people do. Half the time when something comes up, the first thing I do is say something to someone around me and get a response and move from that point. What God wants us to understand here is that we need to seek Him first every time. Every time. And it may not be a natural heart feeling at the beginning, but you know, if you start doing it and you realize the difference, so what if it becomes habit? It's a good habit. You say, oh, we should never do things out of habit. I'm telling you, do this out of habit. When something comes up, seek the Lord's guidance. Pray without ceasing. Luke 11:9 is where I want to go to next. What I want to tell you now is to keep it up. And it will be opened unto you. Are we asking? Are we really asking? So many times we complain about things in our Christian life that we struggle with. And we all have struggles in one area or not. I don't desire to have struggles, but there are struggles that we have. But are we really asking God to help us in those areas? I mean, regularly doing it and keeping it up? Lord, I desire to be closer to you. Give me that desire to be closer. Lord, I struggle with belief sometimes. I struggle with faith. Lord, I don't want to do that. Please put the right thoughts in my mind. And see, that's the whole thing. We need to meditate on the right thoughts. What I mean is that we need to think the right things. We need to study the Word of God, meditate on the Word of God. We have so many negatives coming at us today about God and about the church and about the Bible. We hear it all the time. That's one of the discouragements that I see in society today. It's a discouragement to everyone, to young people, to everyone. They hear all these negatives. You can have 1,000 churches out there that are feeding the poor, that are loving their members, that are sharing the gospel, that are putting others before themselves, and let one church out there go out and do something horrible or something that's detestable, and it's all over the news, and that's all anyone talks about. Oh, I know about these churches. Did you hear about this one? Ah, we need to talk about the thousands that are, and boy, they're out there. I know so many people. Many of them have never been in full-time ministry. Most probably haven't. But yet they are. You know, you're in full-time ministry, whether you believe it or not. I love, you guys ever listen, anybody ever listen to Abraham Hamilton III? Anybody? Love the guy. He always says, when you come home from work, he said, you leave your part-time job and get busy in your full-time job. Because he says your full-time job is living that Christian life, loving, caring for other people, sharing, praying, growing in the Lord, sharing the Word of God. That's your full-time service. Your part-time service is making that income so that you can feed your family and do those things. Your family's part of your full-time job. That's your part-time job. We don't think of it that way, do we? Many times we think just the opposite, that it is our... That's our full-time job, and if we have any left, we'll give it to God. But that's not what he requires, is it? Well, I don't want to be required anything. I want some freedom. Trust me, I'm telling you, from experience, I know that I deal more in facts than emotion. I'm not one of those people that's experience that my emotions are much more well-served when I'm giving him that time. When I'm trusting him with my time, when I'm desiring to do what he wants me to do first. I always stumble and make mistakes when I do it my own way. I think we all do. We just have to get to that point sometimes of recognizing that. Following God requires consistent prayer. If you tell me this morning that you struggle with following God on a regular basis, and I ask you how consistent is your prayer life, I bet I can know the answer. See, when we pray and we talk to God, we cannot help but get his influence and to think about what he desires and to let the Holy Spirit bring to mind those things that we've learned in Scripture and those things that we've heard. And like I said in the study part, he can't bring it to mind if you haven't studied it and don't know it. But the more time you spend in prayer and talking with the Lord, the more it's going to make sense and the easier it's going to be to live that way, right? Huh? You ever hear parents say, you know, you got to watch who your kids are hanging around because they've become just like them, right? You don't let your kids run with bad kids because they start acting like them, picking up their habits and doing those things. And we know that. And we as parents say, whoa, 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 wait a minute. You're not going to stay in that kid's house. Or maybe you have your kids bring home a friend and you begin to realize this is a really good kid. You say, you know what? I want them to hang around this kid. Well, here's the key, folks. I want you to hang around my God and your God. See, if you spend time with him, it rubs off too. That's the whole point. Where do you spend your time and where is your mind? Right? Is your mind on things of him or is it on things of the world? What's going to bring you the most happiness? You guys have heard that thing. People would say, he who dies with the most toys wins. What a dumb statement. I mean, that's just plain dumb. He who dies with the most toys doesn't have those toys anymore. And probably spent more time worrying about toys than they did their relationship with the Lord. And that's a big whoops. Where are you going to spend eternity? Depends on who you know. Depends on who you're talking to. who you're praying with? Is it God? What scripture tells us about all those things just burning up like wood, hay, and stubble? Huh? Wow. I'll tell you what. Any of you farmers out there, I know I have ever lit a pile of straw or stubble or stuff you raked out of the barn. Whew. Whew. Well, that's how those things are going to go. There goes your Corvette. There goes on and on and on it goes. And that fiberglass on Corvettes, that really burns hot. But anyway, the point being that, you know, that stuff is not eternal. It doesn't last. Doesn't last. What's eternal is this. See, and then you're going to enjoy and have all the, I can't imagine what heaven's like, but you know, God has the mind of God and we have the mind of people, so we can't even imagine an inkling of his thoughts. If he says it's going to be wonderful and indescribable to us, can you imagine what it's really going to be like? Wow. I don't want to trade 60, 70 years on earth of me for eternity away from the Lord. Eternity in misery. Why not take these 50, 60, 70 years, whatever he gives us, love him, trust him, let him fulfill your life. I mean, we're not talking about some great sacrifice we're making. He made the sacrifice. If we think that we're sacrificing to live for him, we're in a bad place. We should desire to live for him because he's going to give us that life that we need, the life he intended us to have, that life of trusting, of knowing him, and knowing that whatever happens, he's got us, right? And then, to take that next wonderful breath, as our breath fades here on earth, and we're trying to get out that last breath, fighting for our last breath. And the next breath is just a lung filler with the Lord. Our soul will be with the Lord, and what great joy we'll know. Until that day when we all meet together in the air. Wouldn't that be cool? I want to be part of that group, folks. I really do. I want to be part of that group. So why is it a sacrifice for me to desire to walk with the Lord? I pray to have more of that desire because I know as I have more of that desire, it means that I'm fully rested in him. Anybody here need rest? We came home on Thursday night. Thank you for driving, Holly. Dad wasn't going to make it. It'd been rough. But we didn't sleep. We got home. What time did we get home? 2:30? 3? 3? And I said, I can't wait to get to my bed. Got to my bed. I was so keyed up, I couldn't go to sleep. So I was up all night. Now let me tell you something. You young people, you can do those all-nighters and still do okay. When you get to be my age, those all-nighters are a little bit tougher. I had to be back in here at 8 o'clock and do the radio program. That scared me, because who knew what was going to come out of my mouth? Or if anything was going to come out of my mouth. But that whole day, I get a burst of energy, I get a burst of energy, and it went on all that day. But we like rest, don't we? Don't we like rest? I don't always mean sleep. I mean rest. To get up and know that you're taken care of. Nobody wants to get up feeling alone, like everything's on them. I don't want to get up and think that, you know, the whole world's sitting on my shoulders. He says, let me take that yoke. Because my yoke is light and easy to carry. See, when we trust in God, all those weights around us, they get a little bit lighter. You know, rather than, you know what, I think I might lose my job. What am I going to do? The world's coming to an end. man, I might lose my job. Wow. Well, I know the Lord's got me. I wonder what he's got prepared for me. I think I'll have a chat with him, and we pray and we talk to God, and we walk away feeling so much better because we know God's got us. Isn't that cool? Or whatever the situation is. Sometimes, and this is a tough one sometimes, and some of you have probably been there. I know I have before. Sometimes your wit's end. You don't know what else to do with someone. It may be a family member. It may be a child. Maybe one of your kids. You just don't know what to do. And then this light bulb goes off and says, you know what? This is beyond you right now. You need to wholly give them to the Lord. Do you hear what I said? Wholly give them to the Lord. That doesn't mean, Lord, I'm giving them to you and I'm still going to sweat about them every day. No, that's not giving them to the Lord. Doesn't mean you stop loving them. Oh, you dearly love them. But you love them so much that you trusted the holy God with them. God, I love them enough to know that I can't do anymore, but you can. And I got to step away from this right now. This is too big for me. I'll never stop loving them, but I'm going to trust you. I want to tell you something. There's unbelievable freedom in that when you truly do it. And the other thing that's really cool about that is now you get to sit back and watch God work. And I've watched God work. I have watched family members go from, oh, wow, there's no hope. You know, God can do it, but, man, it's going to be a miracle, that negative attitude. To all of a sudden, I see this unbelievable change. Where did that come from? Oh, yeah, let's try to give that to God 2 years ago. He's been working on him. I just didn't know it. Do we trust God enough? Do we trust God enough for that? Do we? We have to, because he will. I know it's hard because some people say, Pastor, I've done that and I just haven't seen anything. You know what? I didn't either. I didn't either until it happened. And all I could think when it happened was, wow, why didn't I trust God sooner? It would have taken so much stress off of my life. But see, that all comes through conversation. It all comes through a conversation with God, knowing that loving God that loves you. He loves you so much that he wants to have a relationship with you and talk. Do you ever have someone where the cares are just away and you're having a conversation with them? Maybe you're going down the road or doing whatever and you're laughing. And you know, Shirley and I can, our easiest time to do that, it seems to be, is when we're sitting outside by ourselves. Or something of that nature, you know, that we, you know, we just kind of, the cares of the day are kind of gone, and we're just talking about whatever. And you can freely laugh, and you can freely talk. See, when we can do that with God, our relationship grows. When we can talk to God without a bunch of guilt, that's the other thing that'll so get in the way of you talking with God in relationship. Please, take whatever is bothering you and lay it at the foot of the cross where it belongs. He paid for it. It's done, it's gone, forget it. If you've confessed it to him, it is gone. I was laying there in bed one night being really stupid. This has been a few years ago, many years ago. And I started trying to think of all the bad things I'd done. And I gave up because I'd only gone through about 6 months of time and I'd been laying there for about 2 hours. Now, can you imagine carrying that kind of guilt? How are you ever going to have a relationship with God? How are you going to have a relationship with a person that you're talking to when you're carrying a bunch of guilt over something going on with them? You can't do it. Let it go. God says, let it go. I paid for your sin. You've confessed your sin. I've forgiven you. It is, he says, it's as far as from the east is from the west. And in case any of you that don't understand that, that means they can never touch. They can never touch. They can never come back to God. You see, put them in the east and the west, or whatever direction that is, east and west. But one's here and one's here. And he's in the middle. They can't come back to him. They don't touch. Why are we carrying guilt over them? I don't know. Why are we? Forget about them. They're gone. Go to him. We're to come, he says, boldly to the throne of grace. What does that mean? It means I don't back up to him. I turn around and I come boldly with open arms. Because my loving Heavenly Father wants to converse with me, wants to have a relationship with me, wants to show me, wants to guide me, and wants me to enjoy, and I'll have to say this, take life with all the gusto you can, and I don't mean it in a worldly sense, because he has a wonderful life plan for you. But see, we got to start out, and just like our other disciplines, I've got four parts to this one. This was the first part. To come to the Lord consistently, constantly, all the time. Come knowing that he loves us, and come with joy in our heart, and come with thanksgiving for what he has given us. Sometimes we feel like we don't have that much to be thankful for, but I'll tell you right now, if you pulled all the things you have away from you right now that you have to be thankful for, you'd recognize it real fast. Real fast. We have so much to be thankful for. Many of us have escaped death by a razor blade before. Some of us have been taken from addiction in our life. Some of us have been taken from all kinds of things, from great illness. And some of us have been taken from loneliness. Loneliness is so hard, is it not? But he does that because he loves you. He loves you, and he desires that relationship through you. And that relationship comes with prayer. Are we going to start praying because we want to? If you have great problems, I want you to come to me as your pastor, but I want you to promise me something first. Before you ever seek any counsel from me, you seek it from God. You better be praying about it first, because that's the first thing I'm going to ask you. Are you praying about it? Have you given it to the Lord? Are you trusting him for an outcome? Or are you just going to take a wait-and-see attitude with him? He says to trust him, doesn't he? We need that prayer life. You know something else prayer does? I'll just close this. It's kind of cool. When we're praying, we really can't be doing too much of what we're not supposed to be doing. Because it's pretty hard to pray to God and have an active sin life at the same time. You know that? I mean, you can pray, confess your sin, and ask God in that area. I'm not saying that you need to shed everything wrong that you do before you come to God. Please, that's not what I mean at all. What I mean is, when you're having that relationship with him, it's pretty hard at that point. It's pretty hard to do something to hurt him at the same time. If you're having an active, loving relationship with your spouse, there's no way you desire to go out and do something to hurt them intentionally. And that's what I mean by that. When you're having that relationship with God and you're talking with him, it's pretty then hard to then go out and do something to intentionally hurt him too. So the more that relationship builds, the closer the walk is, and the more your life is going to know fulfillment and feel his grace. Isn't that beautiful? Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank for this day, for all you've given us. Lord, that we can remember to ask, to knock, to seek. But Lord, that we come boldly to the throne of grace. Lord, that we come with thanksgiving and that we do pray without ceasing. Let it become an active part of our lives and all that we do, Lord. And Lord, we thank you today for each and every person here. Lord, I just pray that we take this message today. And Lord, they take your words. And Lord, that we begin tomorrow or even yet today saying, today I'm going to have an active prayer life, and it begins today. And for those that already do, Lord, let encourage us to keep going, and all of us to just seek your will and your love in everything that we do. We ask this in your name. Amen. This morning, if there's anyone that would desire to know the Lord, maybe you don't know the Lord, maybe you've never been baptized and you'd like to be, we're going to be having a service soon, and it'll be in a creek again. I like the creek. Only this time I think we're going to put steps in. A couple slabs anyway, so that we can get down there easier. But anyway, please come. You know, don't put off surrendering to the Lord. He doesn't want you to, and it's certainly no good to you. So today is that day. I invite you to come forward today. We're going to do offering. You want to do offering today, Steve? You want to do offering? You know, it's kind of funny. You know, here's something funny. We must be a church that really stresses about money here, right? You know how I can tell you that? Yeah. We didn't take offering last week. We completely forgot about it. But isn't that great? God takes good care of us, and he certainly does. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this offering that we're about to take, and that we have the blessing of being able to give back to you some of what you give to us. You take care of us so well, Lord. You take care of this church so well. We thank you for that. We don't take any of it for granted, Lord. And thank you for blessing us each and every way that you do. In your name, amen.
If you'll pull out your hymnal this morning and turn to page 549, and then stand with us. We're going to sing all four verses this morning of Higher Ground.
I'm pressing on the upward way, no heights. things that would draw us back, the things that would discourage us to have control of our minds today. Let our minds be filled with you. And this is the Lord's Day. Lord, I ask that we realize that throughout the day. And when things happen throughout the day that would discourage us, that, Lord, we would bring it back to that. We would know that. Did everyone have a good time? Thank you that I hope Cody had a great birthday party today, his house and all those things. Just have a wonderful day of celebration with family. Thank you for those that are back from vacation, Lord, and they had a wonderful time of rest. Just give us so, so many blessings, Lord. Be with this week with all the school lunches being served and all the things going on with the Bible studies. And Lord, just we have so much to be thankful for. We thank you for that. In your precious name, amen.
Youth group tonight is at Grayson's.
Where it's actually going to be
here. It's going to be here. Okay.
Yeah,
youth group tonight is here at 6:30?
Yes, 6:30.
Here at 6:30.